invited Dinah Hutton here today, who, as long as I've known her, she never travels alone. I think you always bring a posse wherever you go, so she has brought her posse today. I'll let her introduce them here in a minute. But Dinah was born in 1947 here in California, and she was educated in the California public schools. She has spent her life specializing in doing things for which she has no expertise or training for, such as entering a diving contest before she could swim, driving a taxi in Hawaii when she had only been there 3 days, being a photojournalist before she owned or could operate a camera, teaching Mandarin in Singapore without knowing Mandarin, teaching English as a second language before she had any training in it, and starting a nonprofit with no idea of how they operate. I introduce to you Dinah Hutton of Nuestra Alianza de Willits.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I work for Mendocino College, and I teach English as a second language to adult immigrants. There is not a large enough population in Willits to separate the classes out according to level. So I teach 11 levels simultaneously, which leads to a lot of bonding amongst the students because they stay there for years and years. And this is the story of what happened in my class one night. The students were almost whining and said, "We wish we had an after-school program where our kids could get help with their homework, because we can't help them. Our English isn't good enough. And we wish we had a summer program for our kids in Spanish where they learned about Mexico. And we wish we had help with immigration issues." And a whole list of things. And I wrote them on the board, and I said, well, and I wondered, is this a good idea? I said, nobody's going to do this for you. Do you want to do it yourselves? Do you want to make it happen? And they said, yeah, let's do it. So I got the NOLO Press sort of nonprofits for idiots, and we went through the bylaws, and nobody knew the vocabulary, nobody knew physical or budget or nonprofit, so it took us 2 years to write the bylaws. Everybody wanted to be on the board, so we have a board of 16. After we wrote the bylaws, I took them to a lawyer and said, is this legal? And she said, 16 board members. She said, that could be tricky. I said, well, they all want to be on it. And it's turned out to have worked out very, very well. No, the board comes to consensus immediately. I think the only time they had a long discussion about anything was where they were going to cook some dessert they were making, and they finally decided they'd do it at my house. But that was the hardest decision they made. Everything else, they're in line with each other. They know what they want. We came up with the following mission statement, which I'm going to read to you because, like the rest of the nonprofit, it's sort of odd. Nuestra Alianza de Willits mission is to serve the community, making it a better, safer, and healthier place to live. We are devoted to the well-being of the children in the community, to keep them safe, free of drugs, free of gang influences, and to assist them in attaining academic success. We are also committed to training our largely immigrant board of directors to have skills that will serve them well in their new home, the USA. So I am the only native English speaker on the board. Everyone else is an immigrant. None of us had any idea what a nonprofit was, just that we had one now. And we became a 501c3 right away because we thought that was the first thing you had to do. We have an equally bizarre hiring policy. When there's a job opening, which is really not very often, the criteria for being hired is that the person is intelligent, eager, and has potential. They cannot have the necessary skills. Anyone that has the skill for the job is immediately disqualified. We have on-the-job training. Okay? Everything is on-the-job training. So, naturally, this has caused some challenges. A group of non-native speakers who don't know how to have a nonprofit, who have 16 board members, and insist on hiring people who do not know how to do the job. But it has also made it incredibly rich, and many, many people have learned skills that have changed their lives. And I brought them as examples. We all wrote our own speeches, and I'm not sure what they're going to tell you. So, but I have a few more things. Because we didn't know what we were doing, we were very happy to join the Family Resource Center network because we realized we were in a room full of people who knew what they were doing. And so we met Jamin that way and others. And every time we'd bump up against something that we had no idea what to do, we called Jamin. Call Laura. Call somebody. They'll tell us what to do. We did not know at the time that there was such a thing as a consultant who could tell you, for some huge sum of money, they could tell you if your project would be successful. But if we had had the money and if we had hired a consultant, I'm sure they would have said, don't do it. We did it anyway, and we're very happy. We have been much more successful than we imagined. We just hoped originally that no one would shut us down. No one did. People offered help. Then people started offering us money. And that was a shock. The first year we had $37. And I remember getting a grant for $3,000. And I remember Jaime looking at it. Oh my God. Somebody gave us $3,000. So I think Jamin's probably the only person who could really verify this, but I suspect we do far more with less money than any other nonprofit. It's also important to note that in the Mexican culture and also in the Nepalese culture, which we have represented here, it is not traditional to have a nonprofit. So that in itself is a learning experience. In Mexico, people help their families. They help the church. But they do not have nonprofits unless it's from some other country, some other group of foreigners who have come in to do something. But it's so it's just something they don't know about. We don't really do leadership training, but we are leadership training. None of us will ever be the same for having had this experience, and it's given us all a lot of self-confidence to do things that we wouldn't have done otherwise. I'm including myself. Our coming to speak here today, everyone except me is doing it in a second language, is just one more example of the stretching we do all the time. Everything we do is about education. Education is what we give and it's what we get. Training's a part of that. And everything we do is an experiment. Because we are such rubes, we do something and see what happens. And we've been lucky. Most of the time it's turned out really, really well. If it doesn't, we don't do it again. We had trouble with our bookkeeping in the beginning. If someone gave us $3,000 to hire someone to do something, we gave them $3,000. We didn't realize we had to pay taxes for them, that we had to withhold some of that money. And we said, our money's gone. What happened to our money? It took us a while to figure it out, and we finally got excellent nonprofit training, bookkeeping training for Raina, who has kept us compliant and in the clear. She's done an excellent job. We have survived our mistakes, and we are eager to keep doing more things and hopefully not make too many mistakes. I'd like to introduce the speakers who are here today. The first one is Raina.
Yes.
Raina's the first speaker. This is Raina Brito. She's a founding member of Nuestra Alianza.
Okay. So I'm going to talk about my experience being at Nuestra Alianza de Wilix. It's been a huge, I won't have time, and of course my English is not enough to tell you how big has been my experience being a member of Nuestra Alianza. But I'm going to tell you something about it, the most important things I've been learning. The first one is a very important because it's about the language and the culture. I think this is the base of my experience, because having a little bit more vocabulary and improving my English, it's been a little bit easier to learn the different things like teaching. That gives me the opportunity to work with kids. I love to work with kids and work about art, plays, choreography, customs, designs, and teaching ESL. Another good experience is learning non-profit booking and have the satisfaction that I can do something else and be useful. Especially because these two careers were my dream since I was in Mexico, but I didn't have the opportunity. However, some things are hard, like coming from a different country without knowing anything about life here. Successfully learning skills and language made me stronger and ready to help other people like me who just come from Mexico, telling them my experiences and helping them go through it. So this is my beautiful experience since I joined Nuestra Alianza de Wilix. I would like to say thank you to all our nice members who trust me and help me to learn all the time different things, and especially to Dinah Hutton, because she's my helper on everything. Yeah, so that's it.
Do you have any questions for Raina? She didn't clearly say she's a teacher. She's an after-school teacher. She's our best ESL teacher for children who come from Mexico. Deb Kubin did a study when she was here about kids who come from Mexico. If they have no special help with language, it takes them 6 years to learn enough English to be able to really get anything out of their classroom activities. If Raina gets to them, she does a one-on-one for an hour a day with them, and it takes them 2 years. She also teaches in our summer program. Questions?
About how many students do you have in the Willits area that you do that help with?
In the after school, we have around 480. Because we work in the four schools, and now in charter too. Yeah. So charter also books at all the schools. Yeah. And not counting the summer program. Yeah. 84. In the summer. Yeah.
Another question over there, Anna?
Yeah.
Anna, ¿cuáles son los, I'll translate, ¿cuáles son los obstáculos más fuertes que encuentras en tus lesiones y tu tiempo con los estudiantes? So I'm asking her, what are the strongest or the biggest obstacles that she faces in her teaching?
Well, those kids who just come from Mexico, it's really hard, but it makes a big change that we are there helping them, supporting them, because they feel more comfortable to get through it and learn. Because coming here without knowing anything, even when I was adult, when I got here, I can imagine they coming here little and go to the schools without knowing any English. And they don't have a Spanish, like starting in third grade. So it's really hard for them to get involved with the kids and play with them and be like, they are like this. They say, oh, come on, join them, play with them. And they are getting it. And I start teaching them the basic words to start, or at least helping them reading the instructions, how to do their homework. Yeah, because that's pretty hard for them, especially for those who the parents just come to and they don't know any English. They won't be able to help them at home. And they get frustrated when they just can't finish their homework because they don't know what to do. Probably if I read the instructions to them, they will do it because they know. But they don't know what they should do. That's really hard for me and for them. And I remind how it was when I got here, even when I was adult. But it was really hard. We don't know what to do, where to go, where to get the stuff we need. And, yeah.
Our next speaker, are we done? Do you guys have any more questions?
We have more questions, but we want to make sure everyone gets a chance to talk.
Well, our next speaker is Manisha Khatri. She is Nepalese. She's a war refugee from the Civil War there. And she is not yet a board member. She's the only one who is not a board member here. I think we'll be able to talk her into it at some point. But she has had a lot of experience with Nuestra Alianza. And she has been more on the receiving end of services, but she's also been part of some groups, some programs. So.
Okay, I'm Manisha, and can I tell you something? I'm really nervous.
Okay,
about 4 years ago, I came here without, like she said, she had like hard time. Same for me, I had really hard time learning English, and I didn't know anything about it, and I didn't know culture. That was a big thing, and I lived in like really went there in school. I didn't have any like future plans, what I want to be and all that. So it was hard in school just to like be with everyone. So I came to ESL class and met with everyone here. And they were like, at the beginning, they were helping me with the homework and all that. So after I finished my school, I didn't know what to do. So every time when I had hard time, I just talked to them, and then they tell me what to do. So in class, in ESL class, they brought speakers about, they were from like hospitals, and then they talk about medical field and all that, and that was very encouraging, and I kind of got excited and then wanted to learn about, wanted to be a nurse, and then they talked to me, they told me that there is Red Cross there offering the training, so I went there and then get my CNA training, and then I just got a job. This is my first job as a CNA. And like this, I'm really nervous to talk to people, and then because it's the language and the culture. So I was, they told me to be part of it, and then I was in the, they had like CX3 program, and they told me to be there with them and then be the member of it. So we went on fast food restaurant and asked them, like, find out how healthy food they're selling and all that, and then we report research about it and then report it to the city council. So I'm working on learning more. What else can I say? Yeah, and I'm very thankful to them, like, helping me in every step. I'm looking forward to work with them.
That's all. So, in a few years, if any of you get sick, Manisha will probably be your nurse. She's well on her way.
Do you see what the CX, I think some people don't know
CX3. CX3, would you tell them
what that is?
What?
Yeah. Well, in there we, it helps the people in the city, and then we look for the road if they have, like, if someone is in wheelchair and then they can't, like, is the road good enough for them to be in the road, I don't know. And fast food, how healthy food they're selling, you know. I did on the food, like, I was in the food research, so I don't really know, but I was not there for a long time, so Anna, who's not here today, was handling this, so I just did the food part, so I'm not really
Manisha left out an important part about CX3. It's a, probably a lot of you know about it already. It's a odd name for a teen leadership group. And they went around to places that sell food, fast food, and little stores to see if there was anything healthy to eat. If so, where was it? And then they made a report to the city council.
Thanks.
Okay. Jaime.
My name is Jaime. I get a lot of skills work with Nuestra Alianza, like work with data, doing task preparation, work with kids. I work with kids in the summer program, Plan Vacacional. This program is in summertime. The program is in Spanish. I remember we start this program 9 years ago. We start with 20 kids. In the last program, we served 84 kids. It's becoming very famous. Now the small group is the mom's group that they want to help us with the customs for the kids in the clausura. Yeah, in the last clausura we had like 250 people or more. Yeah, the kids learn about Mexican history, traditions, sport, more things. We focus on their roots for their parents or grandparents that they grown there. And also in our side, we serve parenting class, childcare. Okay.
I'd like to add one thing about Plama Casanal. It is in Spanish, and the first year the board said they'd like to have it, I thought, well, then the kids need English. And actually the board got up and went to a different table and planned Plan Vacacional. And I saw the first year what it did to the kids' self-esteem when Spanish was the language of choice, when it was the cool language, when the native English speakers who were there, because we take anybody who's between 6 and 12, that they were the ones who were saying, oh, I don't know what's happening, and the Spanish speakers could tell them. And so their self-esteem went way up, and we did not do this test, but someone else did a measurement that the kids who go to that program, the following school year, their academic grades are much, much better.
Can you say the name of the program again?
Plan Vacacional.
In Spanish, Plan Vacacional.
What does that translate to?
Translation?
Vacation plan.
Yeah, the kids love it.
They never miss a day. They cry if their parents want to go on vacation.
Especially those who are born here, they don't know about our culture over there. And even when we take them, sometimes, every other year, it's not enough. They don't know. And when we teach them, because I've been teaching there too, so when we teach them even how to make a salsa and the molcajete, those big rocks with the rock and mashing the tomatoes and everything, they like it. And because even when we are Mexicans, we don't cook the same way that we used to cook over there. We're busy, we just blend everything. But they love it. They love to learn different games that we used to play over there when we were little. That's a good experience for them. I have 3 kids, and they are being all the way to Plan Vacacional, after school, and everywhere. I am.
So. Yes.
They are also part of Australians.
And after they're 12 and can't go anymore, they become volunteers. And after they're volunteers for a couple of years, we pay them. They won't leave the program.
When I was in school, the kids had an easier time learning English than their parents. You know, because I think it's very hard.
Yes.
As an adult, I know it's hard learning another language. So the kids would help their parents with their taxes and real estate transact. You know,
everything.
The kids would be helping. So do you guys help the parents that maybe don't have such an easy time learning the language, you know, or don't picking it up? Through your adult program.
Is that the...
Segue.
That'll be you.
Is it your turn? Should timing? That was good.
Hi, everyone. My name is Raimundo, and I just want to talk to you a little bit about how was my life before Nuestra Alianza and how it is now. So before Nuestra Alianza, I had a very hard time just be part of the U.S. Culture. It was very hard. The language was something that I was having a lot of issues. So since the first time I met Dinah, I think my life has changed in a very positive way. I remember the first time that Dinah talked to me, she wanted me to be part of the Nuestra Alianza's board members. I have no idea what was Nuestra Alianza, what a board member was. So, but since then, I have been learning a lot of things. I was a very shy guy before. I would never be doing something like this at all. And now here I am. So the first thing that I did for Nuestra Alianza was to be part of the board members. I think like a year later, Dinah told me if I wanted to work for Nuestra Alianza, to get paid. And she told me if I wanted to be the director of programs, and I have no idea what that was. I didn't know what the duties. She told me some things that I needed to do, and I said to Dinah, I have no idea what to do. And she said, that's why I want to hire you. That's why. That's why. And so since the first day and since now, it has been a learning experience. It's like having trainees and get paid. So that's very nice. So I feel like every day I'm taking a new training, but a good training. Because sometimes you take trainings that are not worth it. You just waste your time. But these trainings are very worth it. And thanks to Nuestra Alianza, there are a lot of doors that have been opened to me. Since 3 years ago, I was a volunteer to do taxes through a program called Earn It, Keep It, Save It. Last year, I was the coordinator from Willits, and I'm going to be the coordinator once again. And it's just very powerful to see how a program like Nuestra Alianza can change people's life. And I think that it's not only to me, you can see other people here, and I think it keeps changing people's life. And I think I'm very thankful that I was able to find Nuestra Alianza, because it has changed my life a lot.
So, does everybody know Earn It, Keep It, Save It, what it does?
Repeat the name again.
Earn It, Keep It, Save It.
Well, it's a program that helps low-income families to do their tax return for free. The first year we did it, we only had we helped 35 people. Last year we were able to help a little bit more than 100 families. Mm. And last year, total refunds, it was a little bit more than 150,000. We hope this year we're going to be doing more taxes and bringing more income to the families.
Tell them about the trainings that you should be doing at this moment.
Yeah, I should be, instead of being here, I should be taking a trainings because we are supposed to be ready by Monday and still have to take 16 exams. And so this weekend is going to be a pretty busy weekend for me.
Well, thank you.
So what can you guys think of? What else do we do for adults?
I think something that, when Nuestra Alianza here is helping a little kid, it's not only that kid, it's the family. The parents come to Dinah's class, which is the ESL. So it's not just only helping that specific children, but the family as a whole. And I think it makes a very powerful impact to the family, not just to the little kid.
Other things that we do, we have nutrition classes, and something really weird happened. For years, I tried to tell my students about vegetables, and they all walked away and said, we don't want to hear about that ever again, just stop it. And the last couple of years, they are totally into it. I used to bring cookies to class to keep people awake. And now nobody wants any cookies. And when there are vegetables and fruits on the table, everybody says, are those organic? And then they immediately get out their smartphones or go to the computer and they Google what vitamins and minerals are in it and what it's going to do for your body. Anyway, that has been a sea change. We give parenting classes and or support them, depending on the year with our funder. We have a psychologist, a native Spanish speaker, who works with us for free. We are able to offer free counseling in Spanish to anyone who wants it. And anyone who walks into the office can make free copies, free fax, use a computer for free, get a letter from the government translated, get forms filled out, any of that kind of help.
Where is your office?
Grange, room 1.
Where?
The Grange, room 1. Any questions?
Ask the panel questions. Pat is also still here.
Yeah.
All right. Dinah, I'll let you facilitate.
You probably said, and I didn't catch it, but how are you funded?
We have about 10 sources of funding.
Okay, there's two donations. Where do you also see grants?
Oh, we write grants, yes. Lots of grants. We're none of us are aggressive. We would really rather get weekend jobs than ask for money. It's a failure that we have. But we do put on some fundraisers sometimes, but mostly we are grant funded by local government, federal government, private foundations, a huge variety of funders.
But it sounds like you just do fabulous work. I'm so proud of all.
And Raina keeps track of it because it's always this much money that has to be spent on this by this date. Very difficult job.
I would just, the panel in general, outside, we heard a lot about language. Mm. Outside of language, what were some of the other cultural barriers that were maybe difficult to overcome? We hear a lot about language, but it's, we don't often get the perspective, your perspective on our culture, what barriers that provides or obstacles it puts in your
way. Well, for me, not including language, it was just a way of thinking. Coming from Mexico, it was a way of when you just done with high school and right away you should get married and work. And he was more like continue with the education, get a better job, and after you have that, then you can think about maybe, you know, having a girlfriend and get married. So just that basic idea, just the basic thinking, it was a big change to me.
Americans are more separated in their families. When I visit other cultures, it seems like there's more whole families living in one house.
Yes.
And more friends and more social things to do, whereas here people tend to stay home and watch TV and not come out.
Yeah, I think that's a little bit different, especially, especially on teenagers. I hear that and say, okay, they are 18, they can do whatever they want, and they live home, not in our culture. Mm-hmm. Now they are like mixed. Wonder, oh, I am 18, I can do whatever, oh, yeah, but and we want to try to keep them, so you're Mexican, this is our culture, but they are mixed because they are living here. And but yeah, we would like to keep them in the family even when they are 18. I'm like a mom, I feel like, oh, I have an 18 years boy, and I feel like, oh no, I don't want to let him go. I want to keep him as long as you and take care of him. I say, you are 18, but you're still my baby. He's my daughter. And I think that's part of our culture. We want to still. Yeah, we overprotect them. Probably it's a bad thing because sometimes we don't let them grow and be themselves, but also we're afraid to do bad decisions.
I think there's something else too. Can I use your English class as an example? Manisha just took the hardest English class at Mendocino College and got an A, but her teacher gave her a short story to read, and it was, she called me and said, Dinah, everybody was laughing when they read it. I have no idea what it's about. And it was by Steve Martin. So it's an example of cultural. So right away, everybody in the class except Manisha knew it was going to be funny. And it was about the guy who invented packaging for CDs, how he had been sent to hell for that. And the guy who makes us have 3 or 4 remotes was also in hell. And there were words like Beelzebub, and there was a snake crawling around somebody's leg. She missed all the cues. She is a Hindu. She doesn't, you know, it's a vast cultural difference. So once I explained to her about the Christian religion and what the joke was. She said, "This really is funny."
So one more question, and we're getting into your lunch. I apologize. So one more, and then
I have a selfish lunch-related question. ¿Ustedes hacen y venden tamales, o is this clases para la gente quiere pagar para tomar una clase para hacer tamales? So I'm asking if they sell or prepare tamales, or like if someone wanted to pay to take a class to make tamales, would they do that?
We don't have classes, but at the beginning we used to sell a lot of tamales to make money to pay our services because we didn't have money and we just started.
And then the women said, "I'm not making any more tamales."
She got tired. Yeah, but yeah, we were making tamales.
Yeah. Have you ever made tamales?
A number of times. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it so starts at about 3 a.m.
Well, I just want to thank our panelists for being here today. I really appreciate you guys taking time out and speaking in front of an audience. Thank you so much.
We have.